Can I just share really straightforward that you're supposed to make an incredible difference in this world? And everything in this world is designed to tell you no. Your own weaknesses and your mistakes in your life, your past, it's designed, the enemy designs it to tell you, no, not you. Yeah, somebody else, maybe the guy up on stage or the lady up on stage, but not you. You're not supposed to make a difference. All you got to do is turn on the TV and hear national or international events, and you start feeling what? Hopeless. Like, what's the use, right? There's really a spirit in this world that everything it wants to do is tell you it doesn't matter what you do because you're not going to change anything. And I want you to hear this morning that that's a lie, and that the truth is the reason you have breath today is because you're not just supposed to make a difference, you're literally supposed to make an eternal difference. Like what? That's why you exist. And we're gonna unpack that a little bit, but you know, there are lots of differences to make in this world. I mean, our staff was pretty excited this week when Krispy Kreme came out with the coffee glazed donut. I mean, that seemed to make a pretty big difference in our staff this week, okay? And it may make a really big difference that there are 17 grocery stores within 1 mile of this church, okay? I don't know why we have so many grocery stores. I don't know what kind of difference. I don't know if Adrian Peterson being on the Redskins is making the difference you're hoping for in your life, but there's a much bigger difference that you and I are supposed to be part of, okay? And if you're going to make that difference, you need the right foundation. You got to start from the right place. You got to have the right perspective about what you're making the difference about. And then you've got to have a certain strategy. And we're not going to be complicated this morning. But whether you're in high school or whether you're in retired life and figuring out, all of us are given the breath we're given because God's not finished using us. Can I get an amen to that? So we're gonna actually go to the one verse in Hebrews 10:25 that we actually started this month off with. And I'm actually going to ask you if you would read it out loud together with me, the whole thing, starting with let. All right, here we go. Everybody, read it out loud with me. Let us not give up the habit of being together, as some are doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. This verse tells us all we need to know about making a difference, and it starts with the right foundation, and that's what we've been talking about for the last few weeks, that it's about being together. I heard one leader say, one is too small a number to achieve greatness. We've been looking at scripture after scripture about how God has called us to be a family, and that Jesus actually died to restore God's plan for family. Because a lot of us, family has not been an easy thing in our life. And so we hear the word family, and we're not like, well, yeah, okay, I don't know about that. Well, look, I just wanted to, Jesus died to restore God's plan, not the plan you've been living in, but God's plan for family. And usually, when family has not been working right in our life, we start experiencing God's plan in church first. And then we start taking it to the families in our life, whether it's literally our blood family or just the friendship group we have around us that's like family to us. The scripture says in Ephesians 2:18, because of what Jesus has done, you are not foreigners or strangers any longer. You are now fellow citizens with God's people. You are members of the family of God. And we live in a very individualistic society. We live in one where it's like, I've got my own personal faith, but I just want you to know that you are made in the image of God, who is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He himself is relationship. And if you want to complete what God wants to do in you, and if you're kind of wondering why life is kind of just there, but you don't feel like you're getting any place in life, it's because your image, how you're made in, is in the image of relationship. And you need to find what that family is, and whether it's Cornerstone or another church family, you need to experience that, because what God wants to complete in you, he completes by his image, by the way he designed life to be, and he designed us to be together. We live in a world that tries to keep us apart, but I want to encourage you, God wants us to be in relationship. I heard one pastor say, you know, it's not uncommon for someone to walk through a divorce. And this pastor said, he said, you know what? The enemy was up to something a lot bigger than just your divorce. The enemy was getting you to the place where you'd never trust another person again. He wasn't after just your marriage. He was after God's image in your life. Don't ever connect again. Not that close. Don't ever be that vulnerable. Don't ever trust somebody again. Because the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. God's got a plan for you, but so does the enemy. He's got a plan for you too. And he's trying to let you work in that purpose. And God wants to give you something new and fresh. He wants to heal. And the good news about what God is doing with our foundation is family isn't just the foundation, but it's actually the final goal. Because the scripture tells us that one day, all of God's family will be together again. As a matter of fact, the key event that describes when we're all in heaven is the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's a wedding. That's about family who's never really been together, now being together in a way they've never been together before. That's what God is up to. And you and I, we are on this earth to get God's final family ready to be with him forever. I heard someone say, when you come to the end of this life, there's only three things that are going to be important to you. Jesus, heaven, and people. That's it. That's all that's going to matter when this life ends. Jesus, heaven, and people. That's going to be it. It's not going to be your bank account, your dress size, your likes on Facebook. It's not going to be who knows your name. It's going to be him. It's going to be the home for God's family. And heaven is God's home for his family. It's going to be people you bring there. And I think that's maybe why God has this word and kind of led me to share in the beginning. It's like, hey, stop your story for a minute. Stop your story and remember his. Because there's some things that really matter. And don't forget this. Don't forget this in the middle of all you're working out in your life. Because God's going to be faithful to you. He's going to be faithful to you. But don't forget what he's working out. Don't forget what really matters when all is said and done. Because this D.L. Moody, I love this quote, our greatest fear shouldn't be of failure, but of succeeding in what does not matter. Great quote. Like, make sure that you step out of your story and the pressure around you and the people around you and how you're trying to compare yourself. And if you're getting ahead, just hold off a little bit and get back into my story, because we've got to have the right perspective. And that's what Hebrews 10 talks about. Let us not give up the habit of being together as some are doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as what? We see the day approaching. That's the perspective of this life, that there's a day coming. What is that day? Well, this phrase, the day, is used a few times in the New Testament, and it refers to the day that Jesus returns or your life returns to God. That's the day. See, there's this day out there that that Jesus is coming again, or that we're going to come to him. And I don't know if you catch the way I said this, that either Jesus returns or your life returns to God, because all of our lives are just like this right here. You know what this is, right? Little red box action. I get this. I don't own this. I get it for a while, and then what do? I give it back. Well, your life, the breath you breathe, the breath I breathe, the soul, God gave it, the breath I breathe, and one day I give it back. And the question is, how's it come back? You see, sin damages. God gives it to us, beautiful and perfect, and sin in this world, it just corrupts it. And when I give it back, I owe a little something extra on it because I'm not returning it the way I got it. And so what I need is I need some way to make it fair, make it right, give back what I did. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus was the sacrifice. He gave his perfect life back to the Father in representing you. Take my perfect. I know, God the Father, you gave Sean a perfect life, and he's kind of messed it up in a lot of big ways. But here's my perfect life back to you for him. That's what Jesus has done for us. And the scripture says in Hebrews 9, just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, we're going to talk about that in a minute, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And Jesus will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him, who have the right perspective about what this life is about. That there's a day coming. When Jesus came the first time, he defeated sin and death. He defeated bitterness and fear. He defeated pain. He defeated injustice on the cross. He defeated it, but he didn't destroy it. He defeated it, and you and I can walk in what he's done. We can choose it, but when he comes again, he destroys it. This in-between time is my time and your time to say yes to him and to help others say yes to him. Because one day, what God began in the Garden of Eden, starting with a perfect world, starting with life that people knew how to love each other and celebrate life and enjoy the presence of God, one day that's returning. And in this in-between time, you and I, we get to choose. We get to choose. And today in the Bible Project, we're reading Luke 11 and 12. And Jesus, time and time again in these two passages, talks about there's a day coming. There's a day coming. And you and I, we've got to live in that perspective so that sometimes we're in the midst of things that in this world's eyes, we're not winning. In this world's eyes, we're not successful. No, we know what's really true. We know what's significant, and we're living for that. The question you and I should ask ourselves when we think about this day that's coming is this: have I made a true confession of faith in Jesus? Now, this is really important, and maybe for some of us this seems a little basic, but sometimes, even in churches, it's taught that if you're in a church, you're saved, like by just attending, all right? But what I want to encourage you is what the Bible shows us right here. Oh, by the way, heart check right there. It's my family. Trick-or-treating. Sorry, I forgot to put that in there. Moving on. There you go. Okay. Forgot I put that in there. All right. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and here's the heart check, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Notice the last part. For it is with your heart that you believe, not with your mind, with your heart, and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Until it really comes out of here, you're thinking about it a lot, but are you living it? Are you deciding this is what I believe? Do you believe it enough to say it? What Braxton did this morning was believe it enough to say it, not just with his mouth, but with his life. Say, I believe that the old life that I lived is over, and I'm trusting Jesus in this new life. I believe in him, and he's confessing him in that way. And I want to encourage you, have you done that? Have you taken that moment? Because there is a day coming. Now, you don't have to be water baptized to be saved. It's an outward expression. It's one of the ways to say it. But I want to encourage you, Jesus himself modeled that, saying, I want to declare to the world that this is who I am. And literally, at the end of this service, if you feel like the Lord's calling you to take that step, and you've not taken that step, and I would encourage you, it's like, well, Pastor Sean, when I was an infant, you know, I got sprinkled this, or, you know, kind of child. That's great. And praise the Lord. Those are beautiful, sacred moments. But I want to ask you who you are now. Are you trusting in him? And have you made that confession of faith for that day that's coming? I want to encourage you. Today could be your day for that. Well, the thing we've got to know about is that day actually leads to what was referred to in Hebrews 9, that there's a judgment that comes on. And judgment sounds pretty intimidating, and I think if you didn't know Jesus, it would be. But there's this thing called the Great White Throne Judgments in Revelations 20, 11 through 15. And in that day, all come before God. Let me just read the scripture to you. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on, referring to God. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were open. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done with Jesus as recorded in the book. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Uh-oh. Are we going to talk about hell in church? Is this actually going to happen here? Yeah, it is. Because Jesus mentions it an awful lot. That there's this day that when he returns or when your life is finished, we stand before God. We stand before him. And really, there's just one thing that matters in that moment. God's going to want to, are you part of my family? It's all he's going to want to know in that moment. Because heaven is designed for who? His family. That's the simplest way to think about it. He's just going to want to know, did you become part of my family through my son? Did you believe in him and trust in him? And did you return to the life I had always planned for you? Are you part of my family? You know, our daughter Melody is off at school, and we know like the exact number of days till fall break when she comes home, because we're excited to have her back home, because that's what family wants, is to be together. And God the Father wants the same thing. And he's looking forward to the day when all the family is home again. Now, maybe you think about it, it's like, well, Pastor Sean, how could a God of love have hell as part of where people go if he loves people? What I would just say to you, I think it's actually a really simple answer to that. Love is a choice, right? Like, I can tell Alexa to wake me up and say good morning to me, but Alexa does not love me, all right? Because Alexa does not have a choice. Alexa is doing exactly what I told Alexa to do. That's not love. That's a robot. That's a computer. That's forced. But real love has to require the option not to do it, right? So God who is love, 1 John 4:4, God who is love, has to create a choice for you. You need a choice because he wants you to love him, and there's got to be a choice for you to love him, which means there's got to be a choice not to, which means there's got to be a place that you could say, yes, I want to be with you, or no, I don't want to be with you. And in the end, heaven and hell are just an extension of this life. If you live this life saying you don't want to be with him, seems to me that's probably going to continue in the next life. But what we really need, it's like it's a choice, but then he is a God of love, so what has he done? He's written out in black and white his story and how he feels. He sent his son. He continues to bring witnesses. Here's a choice and I'll leave you to it. It is, here's a choice and I'm moving heaven and earth that you'll make the right one. That's who God is, because he loves us. And so there is this thought, and on that day, all we're going to need to enjoy family forever with him is one simple yes. I said yes to Jesus being my Lord and Savior. I'm part of your family. You are my heavenly Father. I don't know if you've ever heard it that way. Maybe you just heard of kind of like God, sin, heaven, hell, bad, good. Look, it's really a story about family. Genesis 1 is God creates a family. He creates a family that he wants to enjoy. He is love. He wants to share love. He wants to create love. And he brings his family. But selfishness, I mean, we all know that selfishness destroys any family. And selfishness destroyed that one too. And you and I have to come back to this place where say, would you forgive me? Swallow my pride. Say, Lord, I don't want to live in the old life. I want that washed away, and I want to learn to live in yours. That's this call, and that's you and I. That's really important to remember. But for all of us in this room that are part of his family, we're not done. Because the Bible says that there's one more moment after that moment. And the great white throne judgment, it's all by grace. All you got to do is say yes. All you got to do is believe. All you got to do is say yes to what Jesus has done. You don't have to say you're good enough. You don't have to line up your life and say, I qualify. You don't have to do any of that. You can be 75. You can be 7. All you got to do is say, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. That's all it takes. There's no works to it all. You don't have to earn it in any way. You just have to believe in your heart for him. You got to want to rejoin his family, all right? But then after that, The Bible talks about the judgment seat of Christ, all right? That after this great white throne, that those who continue, that are part of his family, there's going to be one more moment. 2 Corinthians 5, 9, 10. For we, talking about believers, must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him, notice this, for the things done while in the body. For the things done while in the body. There's one question God's going to ask you at the judgment seat of Christ. Obviously, I'm paraphrasing, okay? What difference did you make in bringing others into my family? That's the one thing he's going to want to know there. That's the one thing he's going to know. It's like, hey, I'm so glad you're part of the family. Now, before we celebrate, before we start living this new life all together that never ends and never has pain, never has tears, before we do that, what have you done to bring others into my family? Why? Because God's sitting up there wanting to be mad at us? No, actually, the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 3, talking about the same day, the fire of God's holiness will show in this day, the judgment seat of Christ, if a person's work has any value. Did it make a difference eternally? Was it about something that was about people who are going to be in heaven because they know Jesus one day? And look what it says. If the work survives, when you get before the judgment seat of Christ, he asks, what have you done? Well, here's my life. The fire of God comes upon it. Now all that's left are things that have eternal value. There's a reward for the things you've done. Why? Well, I'll tell you why. Because family is really important to God. There's my family. And if you were the one who stitched up Caleb's head when he busted it off of the swing set, I would love to reward you for helping out my son. And if you were someone who helped Rachel get a summer job, hey, Brett, you know, I'd love to reward you for it. And if you were someone who was a great teacher for my daughter, Kate, or you were someone who, when Melody, tire blew going to school and you stopped and helped change her tire for her, I would love to give you a reward. Why? Because I love my family. And that judgment seat of Christ is the Father in heaven said, if you've done something for this final family, because I've been waiting for us all to get together, and if you helped make it happen, if you encouraged, if you did something to bless them and keep them going and live in the presence, I would love to give you a reward as we enter in. That's what that day is. That's what that day is about. Look, we are all called to make a difference in God's final family, because there is a final family. There's a time when there's no more, that this is it, that there was a time where Jesus defeated everything and invited us by faith to love him again. And doesn't, if you're going to love someone, you've got to have faith, right? I mean, there's no loving someone without some faith and some grace, because there's no one perfect and you don't know everything about them, but you're growing in relationship with them, and there's got to be some faith to love. And God's inviting us back into that in this season. And one day he returns, and there's a little bit more there, the eschatology, there's a few other pieces there, but I'm just saying, in general, the family's done. And I love, but Hebrews 10, it just says what we should do. And it's not that hard. It says, read it out loud with me again. Let us not give up the habit of being together, as some are doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. That's all you got to do, is encourage. That it's not your job to save people. It's not your job to heal people. It's not your job to be everything. You're not the Savior. There is one. But if you can encourage them to know Jesus. I was thinking today, and this is kind of a confession, but I was thinking today, you know, I've got the Better Together cards in my pocket. I haven't handed one out yet. I'm like, man, how's it been? I've had 3 weeks. I haven't handed one out yet. But my job, eternal value, I mean, even if it's a little nervous and I don't know if they're going to like it or not, that's going to count towards heaven, because I'm trying to help people towards their final family. We've talked about the whole idea that sometimes you know Jesus, but but you're just so locked down in your past. And you just got so many things that are so hard. And the enemy's, he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal your relationship with God. He wants to destroy your sense of identity and value in this world. And he's certainly looking to destroy this whole idea, kill that, and destroy your sense of hope for the future. Because you've got a purpose. You've got a really important one, an eternal one. And it may not show up in, you know, America's Got Talent or on The Voice or anything like that, but it sure is important to heaven. And if you could just encourage somebody else to do this, what would change? What would change for eternity? Like, God, I don't know. I mean, that one time when someone stopped at the side of the road to help Melody when she, you know, got the flat tire and she was going to school, and I was driving there, but I was, by the time I was there, the tire was changed. I was like, man, thanks. Like, oh, no problem. I do this all. You know, he's like, he was a mechanic. He's like, I do it all the time. You know, just move on. It's like, no, that meant a lot to this dad that you did that. Well, it didn't seem all important to me. It was very important to me, though. That's what God's doing. And I want to tell you, there's three ways you can really encourage one another to do next steps. And I want you to really think about this morning. The first thing you could do is take your own. Right? What better way to lead? What better way to change a family? What better way to help out a relationship? Instead of waiting for the other person to do what they need to do next, how about you do what you're called to do next? Why don't you take your next step? As sincere as I can be, if you've not really made that step of confessing Jesus as your Lord and Savior, of believing him, I mean, your parents do, or you've always been part of this church, that's great. That's beautiful. But you need to make that decision yourself today. It's very important that you do that. That's an important step you could take. Some of us in this room, it's like, man, I love my family, but I can't get out of my own way in dealing with them. I feel like every time I try to help, I make things worse. Like, maybe there's some places of knowing freedom that you've got to be about in your life. And whether it's freedom in Christ or, I mean, there's 140 new people signed up for small groups last Sunday. 140 of them. They're just saying, I need a new step, and I need a place where I can take off the mask a little bit and just be myself. We don't got to solve and fix anything. I just need to be myself and let Jesus touch who I really am. And maybe there's a step of discovering purpose. You really can do that, and we'll talk about that in a second. But there's this step. You could take a step today, and I want to encourage you that this is a really important day for you if you haven't taken that step to know Jesus. Number two, you could just support another's next step. Man, just encourage them. I mean, it's just literally encourage them. Here's a challenge. By the end of today, whether it's text, writing a note, however you do it, would you at least send a word of encouragement to three people by the end of today? By the end of today. Just someone like, hey, I mean, send it to Braxton, man. That was awesome, man. That changed my whole worship experience, seeing you take your step for Christ. And just encourage him or encourage somebody else. And just, would you take on that? All right, everybody, raise your right hand. Repeat after me. I will. Okay, you get the rest. All right. Just encourage someone. Pastor Sean, is that really important? It may be more important for eternity than you realize. That's how important it is. And then the last one, you know, you could serve in another's next step. And what church is not trying to get you to do a bunch of things it wants. Church is all of us coming together saying there's some things God wants, and if you're specifically have a passion to help that part of it, let's get to it. Let's go do it. Let's make sure other people's eternities are changed. As we come together, better together, we could together help someone. You know, there's been a few in the past probably month or so that have come out of just addiction, and that takes a family to help someone out of that role, right? Because that's not just like, call me when you need me. That's like, there's a bunch of people that have to be part of that healing process. Because there's a lot to unpack and there's a lot new to be. And you know what? We really serve people who are coming and finding freedom when we do it together. Because then we all take a piece and we all become part of a team. We say, we're with you. And so I just want to encourage you, could be part of that. You could be serving in the nursery and helping young families, or I don't know what your passion is, what part of God's big picture he wants you a part of, but I'm saying you can find it here. And all you got to do is write down the connection card. I just like to talk to a pastor about it. I got an idea to serve, or I'd love to serve in this place. Just write it in the connection card and just put it in the back. But all these are possible. And I asked Pastor Brian if he'd help finish us up today. We had a wonderful memorial service for one of our dear family members, Matt Brown, this past Sunday, Chrissy's brother. And we just had some time when, you know, when someone's life hears through and they go to be in heaven, it's definitely a time where you think, right? And I asked Pastor Brian then if he would sing the song Midnight Cry, that's just about the day Jesus returns. And I think sometimes, obviously, music is spiritual, and sometimes instead of having to just engage our logic brain, we feel something. God begins to speak to us about what life is really about. And I'm going to invite Pastor Brian to take a moment to just minister that song to us. And I want to encourage you with your heart, and maybe a little bit with your sacred imagination today, start thinking about and imagining, what is it going to be like that day when Jesus returns? Because you and I, we're really trapped in now. You and I don't do good except thinking about now. But I'm telling you, there's a day. There's going to be a now in the future. It's going to be really, really important. And everything about the Bible says Jesus is coming back pretty soon. And I don't know if Jesus come back soon is like a hurricane coming to Virginia. It never happens. Oh, everybody gets a little upset for a while and then it turns. No, he's really coming. He's really coming. I just want you to think about that day, and then we're just going to have a moment to finish up in prayer. Pastor Brian.